or not?
Yeah, because he's the one that actually he's the one that's
he's in G.I. Joe Retaliation. He was in
The Rock in it.
Yeah, that's how I'm just listening to rock movies. So Rampage one.
You mentioned Daredevil. So.
I'm going back. Now I'm missing San Andreas.
I mean, there was a Rock in Daredevil.
Is that not how it works? G.I. Joe 2.
No, because otherwise Rock's in everything. That one movie with Sean Connery Faster. And fucking the face-off guy.
Oh, The Rock.
No, Con Air. There was a Rock in that.
It was just four. Okay, looks like it's just four movies.
Oh, so you jumped to conclusions.
But still, though, it's not like The Rock has done like 47 movies.
Has he, though?
No.
How many movies has he done?
Well, that was like his movies.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Maybe, maybe not. Oh, their last name was Abbott. In the movie. I was looking at it, I was like, never, because they never really said each other's names.
No, they didn't.
So it's like, I was like, I looked down, I was like, oh, they all actually have last names. Like, they're listed as Evelyn Abbott, Lee Abbott, Reagan Abbott, Marcus Abbott, and Bo Abbott. And I was like, they never said each other's names, right? Not even, like, sign language. They said father, no, mother,
they didn't.
Brother.
Huh.
That's the only thing, the reason why is because when they were walking towards the house the first time, when we saw them, obviously, the mailbox said Abbott. And so I thought maybe there was just a farm they picked, but then later on you see all the pictures and you realize that that's right before she goes into labor, that's
their farm.
Their farmhouse, because she picks up, that's obviously the son who died.
I kept
died.
Just calling him Jim in my head. I was like, oh, Jim better watch out.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, Jim, you ain't going to do. Yeah. Pam's going to be super mad when you
and
die
then
out
I
here.
I called Emily Blunt, new Pam. New Pam, calm down.
Whoa, new Pam. It's British Pam.
Yeah.
Well, which, I don't know. Did
or she, real life Pam, technically.
It is true, because they are married in the real life.
They're doing the...
Which, yeah, see, I didn't know that either until this movie.
Yeah.
No idea that they were married into this movie. And they're real life husband and wife. I was like,
they
get married just for this movie? That seems weird, right?
I saw her...
Method acting.
...do an interview on like Jimmy Kimmel. A long time ago.
I try to avoid Jimmy Kimmel as much as possible.
And that's the only reason I know. Because
he's
reference.
Terrible.
He's not terrible.
Yeah, his sketches are fun.
Yeah, his sketches are fun, but as an interviewer, he's fucking terrible.
Well, any show like that,
but
you're not going to get
then
good
again,
interviews.
Graham Norton's the best interview ever.
Yeah, but that's still long form, though.
That's
they
true.
Sit there
I prefer that
for
one.
Like 40 minutes
Those,
or so.
That show's really fun. Have you ever watched Graham Norton's, the newer Graham Norton show? God damn it, it's so fun. He gets them to tell the most ridiculous stories, too.
And, well, he fucking boozes them up. That's
the
key.
Part. Yeah.
Like, there was that one time Marky Mark got all fucking drunk. And
all drunky drunk?
Yeah. Marky Mark, drunky drunk.
You have to always say two things along with it.
Yeah, we're Marky Mark.
Like Marky Mark put out his penis. In that one movie. Transformers?
That was a fake penis.
Yeah, it's Transformers. That's why it was so terrible.
I still haven't seen it.
Don't worry. You're not missing much.
Like, I've seen the beginning of it.
The tip?
Just the tip. And that's it.
I watched it the other night.
It?
It, yeah.
I've been meaning to.
The newer one. Again. And, ooh, man, that movie.
Is terrifying.
So fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. That goddamn slide scene. Is what nightmares are truly made of.
Which
like,
scene?
The slideshow scene.
Oh,
in the garage, dude. When he just... Oh, god damn it. Every time. I'm like, yo. That is terrifying.
Speaking of it, did you know that in Far Cry 5, there you can find a red balloon floating outside of a sewer grate?
No.
Yes.
There's sewer grates in Montana?
Well, like those giant... You know, like you saw in It. You know, with the giant storm drains.
I didn't even know. I haven't really been in a city in Far Cry.
No.
Where's that at?
I don't know. Like, somebody posted a picture of it and said that
so
you
rad.
Could find one. I was looking for Easter eggs in Far Cry 5.
There's a couple for Far Cry 4 in it that I heard about. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen, though. Oh, Joe's over here spilling water everywhere. Speaking of
just
spilling water, comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody.
Oh shit! We're almost 5 minutes in.
By the way, I started recording.
Sorry about that, guys.
Nah, man, it comes naturally. That's how it happens.
I didn't
cold open.
30 Rock. I didn't say the N word, did I?
Not yet.
Good.
You got time. Yeah, so actually, speaking of Stephen King, really, though, for real news, not just a segue into studying the show. Joe, would you like to talk about what you found out last night, this morning? When was it
you What did you find out?
I found out last night.
Last night. It was last night.
That a little unknown series from Stephen King looks to be made in, being made into a TV series from Amazon. And that's The Dark Tower.
Yeah, bro.
So yeah. Sometime last year,
let's fantasy cast
they
it.
They had announced that they were going to make, not Amazon, but it was a some other production Netflix. Coming. Netflix, was it?
Yeah. They were going to do based the on
Wizarding Glass.
The Wizarding Glass, yeah.
Yeah. And it was supposed to tie into the movie, but obviously it takes place before everything in Roland's, the main character's, past. But I guess that all fell through, except the showrunner has stayed on as well as the writers, and apparently from what it seems is that it was picked up by Amazon. So this comes about by a another website. I can't remember what the name was.
It was Deadline.
Deadline. Yeah. I was thinking Deadspin, but I was like, that wasn't right. Deadline. So they were listing off a bunch of TV shows that they're making. So they said that obviously we have the
Lord of the Rings. They were all adaptations.
Right.
All book adaptations.
So obviously we have the Lord of the Rings, which apparently is going to be a $1 billion production,
yeah.
They said. And then they were listing off a bunch of other ones, and the surprise one on there was The Dark Tower, and it was just thrown out there. And it's
this
like,
nonchalantly throwaway line. I was like, what?
It's like The Dark Tower. Wait, what?
Like, is there a different Stephen King, The Dark Tower?
Yeah, exactly. Well, then apparently in Twitter, one of the showrunners was talking about how they were writing in their treehouse and part of it fell down. And he hinted at just like one of the beams in The Dark Tower. And then one of the, I forgot what her title was, but she something about categories of Amazon said that... Our writers are something hashtag Dark Tower TV, and it's like, what? This is actively being worked on.
Yeah, apparently.
So that's going to be completely awesome, and I hope that they go from like start to finish.
And I want them to do it the way they do it in the book too. I want them to be, you know, the whole line, which is the line from the actual poem that Stephen King got the idea for,
mm-hmm.
which is. The man in black is followed by the gunslinger through the desert, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is the opening line of the book, which then leads into the whole story. So, but yeah, no.
Did you ever finish the series? You did.
Yeah, I finished it before. Yeah, I remember because I burned through it before the movie. It was a
while ago, that's why
I
was, yeah.
Yeah, remember because I was like, stop reading anything else, and I was like, just burn through the books and get ready before the movie comes out, because I don't want the movie to ruin anything, and I don't know if it would. I mean, it didn't really, but I didn't want to take the chance, but also I wanted to be able to spot as many things as I possibly could that mm-hmm. could be tied into it, just as like little things, like, you know, like the Watchtower bookstore was on one of the buildings, things uh-huh. like that, you know, mentioned the turtle and the emphasis on it. But yeah, so I was reading the fact that when we were reading about that, on you said that Slash Film had the thing about it leading to Deadline's article,
yeah,
from February, or the Slash Film articles from February,
yeah,
when Amazon officially announced that they are actually doing it. Then Deadline's was from like November of last year when you saw it, and with the tweets and everything. And I was like, "What's it's pretty fucking hardcore." Somehow that just like slipped by everybody's fucking radar.
I guess.
Like, how is that not bigger news?
I don't know.
With the amount of Stephen King properties being adapted.
Just all of a sudden.
Just gobbled up. I mean, you know, I mean, so yeah, it's interesting. Because
then we're also finding out that Steven Spielberg had what?
The Talisman. He owns the theatrical rights to the Talisman.
And he's been sitting on it for years.
Yeah. It was like 1982 before the book actually came out.
Yeah.
He owns full out, right? But then the best part about that whole thing, the article I was reading about that, is he's even been working with Stephen King and Peter Straub about it, because they're gonna be part of it.
Nice.
So like he doesn't want to do it because he loves it so much, which makes me think I need to read it.
Yeah.
And he loves it so much that, hey, he got Warner Brothers to buy the rights to it before even the book even hit shelves.
But not that Warner Brothers owned the rights.
Yeah, it's literally they bought it for him.
Spielberg owns the rights to it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that was back in the day when you used to be able to buy properties.
Yeah.
Without being a franchising or whatever. So that's pretty insane. But yeah, so that's the Stephen King news. I mean, this year alone we'll have the series Castle Rock coming out on Hulu.
Yeah.
From JJ again.
Mm-hmm.
JJ and Steven and all them, the Bad Robot Peoples. There was another one too that was coming out, another adaptation of his coming too, and then obviously next year we'll have second part of It out as well, so.
Yeah, I can't think of what it was.
There was something else.
You already had the two adaptations that went straight to Netflix.
Yeah. There's Gerald's Game and what's the farm one?
The one with
the fucked up with one the Punisher. Farm.
19
Yeah. What was that one called, Mike?
Are we getting a sequel to 11/22/61?
I don't know.
A second season?
I don't know.
With James Franco?
That's a good question. I don't know if they announced it.
Because they never finished it.
Yeah. They left it off of. If that's where they end it, that they tell.
That's awful.
Well, they did it so well. They liked it so much, and it was just so popular. That's why they did. That's why they agreed to do Castle Rock.
Yeah, so they have to be finishing the series. James Franco just needs to stop doing those weird movies.
Have you seen the trailer for his new one?
I have.
The future something or other?
It makes no fucking
sense. It looks fucking terrible.
Yeah.
The what? What's it called?
It's called The Future World, and it's like this weird Mad Max sci-fi thing, which if you think, like, on paper, sounds really good.
Franco loves doing that weird shit, though.
It looks terrible. Like, terrible.
I'm cool. He's like the one guy where I'm like, he could do like 5 shitty movies in a row, and I think he knows they're shitty. He just wants the experience, and he'll eventually circle back around and like kill it in something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like, he can be a really good actor. It's just that he chooses the most bizarre things. But you know,
cool with it. He's having fun with it. It's weird. I mean, the guy did a soap opera for like a year, just for fun. Like,
but a doctor.
You know, he only filmed. He was on Marin's podcast talking about it, and because he was going to school during the time,
which was
funny because he's fucking James Franco already. You know what I mean? Like, why are you going? Whatever. But so the only free time he had was Fridays. So they said the whole set kind of basically deemed it Franco Fridays, and he would come in on Fridays and shoot everything that was supposed to be shot for him that week in like a 9-hour day. Ugh. Just bang it all out real quick, and they'd have everything set up for him. He'd come in, do all his shots, and then leave. But yeah, that's weird that like a big movie star was like, soap opera, that's what I'm going to do. So at this point, any movie that he does, it's like, yeah, let me watch the trailers because it could be one of those weird ones he wants to just flex some weird art muscle on, and then...
This is definitely one of those.
Weirdo. It's cool, though.
Yeah.
There's nobody else. There's not a lot of other actors has the balls to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he does pretty much whatever he wants. And it's weird because he's like... He won, obviously, an Oscar for 127 Hours.
Got nominated for a bunch of awards for The Room.
Yeah.
Like Golden Globes and shit like that.
But then like he does these like he goes and does that one with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Where he's like the fiance to like his daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why him, right? Is that what it is? Yeah. And it's like that. It's like, wow, do you like really? Like, I guess do whatever you want to. But it's like, and then like this thing.
I've heard people say that movie is low key really funny. Like, nobody was expecting it because the trailers look like garbage.
Mila Jovovich is in it.
That's who it was,
Snoop Dogg is in it.
Snoop.
I did not know that.
Method Man is in it.
Didn't know that either.
And so is Lucy Liu.
What is this?
This Future World. The one with James Franco as a madman in a weird Mad Max-ish world.
You can't tell me that show is not, or that movie's not going to be fun.
I can tell you that.
Watch the trailer. That's what I would recommend.
Look at that cast, though.
Look at that cast, though. Snoop Dogg's in it. How could that be not great?
Yeah. I'm just going to look at some stills.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
I told you. I'm
going to give you credit for that one. Yeah. It looks rough.
The pictures probably look better than the actual motion.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of good, you know, yeah. was good?
What was?
Lunch.
Lunch was delicious.
Lunch was
pretty bomb. Hey, yo, if you order a plate that has two carne asada burritos and you're like, that must be two slightly smaller carne asada burritos because the price difference isn't that bad from the one carne asada burrito plate, it's probably going to be two big-ass burritos. Just get the one carne asada plate. You'll be fine.
That is actually a true story.
Yeah.
Also, don't order four rolled tacos or five rolled
tacos. It was five, to be fair.
Yeah.
But they were pretty good rolled tacos.
They were really good rolled tacos.
They weren't the best rolled tacos.
No.
But they're the best ones I've had in Phoenix. So, I take today as a W.
Mm-hmm. Take today as a W.
What else was good, though, Cody?
A Quiet Place. That's what was good.
Quiet Places are pretty good.
Yeah. So, a little movie called A Quiet Place came out.
Starring
Jim from The Office.
John Krasinski.
Oh, John Krasinski. I'm sorry, if he has a real name.
And
his real life Pam. Real life. His real life Pam.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. And then three kids. Four technically kids. I don't know if that baby was real. Because it's not listed as a character here. But I just realized, though, like that whole cast was literally like five people. No, mm-hmm. It's the three kids, the two parents, six people because of the old man.
Oh, and the dead lady.
She didn't have to act. She was a body.
Yeah, but it was a person.
Was it though? Was it a real person?
Yeah.
How do you know?
It probably was a real person. I'll give him that.
Hey, yo, lady, you want to be in the movie? So
this goes back. I don't know why I was obsessed with this. This might beat Breakfast Club for smallest cast.
It literally has six people in it.
Breakfast Club is...
One, two.
Because I wasn't. This was the thing. I don't know why I've always thought about this.
Well, Breakfast Club is more than most people think because of the parents.
Yeah. You take the parents into account. But even with that, before, you only seen like 12 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And like, I'm not counting other movies where, but I'm just seeing the actual amount of people you see on screen.
Do you have the six? This kids, has to be right?
The smallest.
There's six of them or five of them?
It's five, and then you have
the. Five, the principal, the principal. Janitor.
Yeah. And.
So, and then you only see like two or three of the parents. I think
parents,
though,
right? So you're like at eight or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is.
We've gone through this before. And this, I
have six.
I can't find it online. I haven't looked that hard, but I did a Google search and I couldn't find it on the first or second page. I went to the second page and I couldn't find it.
Did you spell Breakfast Club correctly?
Possibly no.
Okay.
But I decided, I dubbed this a couple years ago, that Breakfast Club was the smallest cast movie. Ever outside of anything like
weird indie stuff that made it movie theaters, yeah. Nationwide release, yeah, I got you.
You know, or real people have been in that people might know.
Yeah,
this beats it because you had a baby.
So you had Krasinski, you had his wife, you had the older daughter, the son, the middle son, and then the young son at the beginning,
and then the baby,
and then the baby.
Old man.
Old man.
Old lady.
Old lady.
That's seven, it. Because they do credit. Well, uncredited is Doris McCarthy as Woman in the Woods.
But that's not.
Uncredited doesn't count, right?
No, no, it does. I count everyone person. That you see.
Okay.
She's every person that you now. See. So it doesn't matter who's credited.
There is no list for a baby, so I don't think the baby was real.
I think the baby might have been real.
You think the baby wasn't real?
I think the baby wasn't real.
It looked way better than the American Sniper fake baby.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah. American Sniper.
Well, that was awful.
Yeah, no, I just have a feeling it wasn't a real baby, but I don't know. It's uncredited, but if it was not uncredited, it's literally not listed. Even if you
count baby,
I count baby.
That's eight.
It was
eight.
Real enough. Yeah.
And then let's see.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I steered us off in this path.
Nope. This is we're talking about a quiet place. Me. We're talking about a quiet place still.
But for a Breakfast Club, is that
but for Breakfast Club,
so I'm pull up right now. Keep talking.
Yeah. The credit part is good because like John Hughes, I don't think is credited. Like we've done this before, where I don't think we've done it on the podcast. And if we did, I'm sorry for
no, we did. I don't think we have. I remember everything we've done.
Always
we have what Emilio
Estevez,
Marley, Molly Ringwald.
So you say anybody you see on camera?
Yes.
Yeah, they have way more than that. Because they list family members. There's Allison's dad, Brian's sister, Andy's father, Claire's father, Allison's mom, and Brian's mom, all listed as well.
You actually see all of them though?
Apparently, because they're not uncredited. They're actually listed in the credits.
So that puts you like a 12 or something like that. One, two, which I think three, still four, five, probably six, would seven, have been pretty eight, close nine, to the 10, smallest.
11, 12, 13.
13.
And then, John Hughes, who plays Brian's father, is uncredited, so that's technically 13. Mm-hmm. You do see, I mean, you...
You see, I know you see him.
You see him, yes.
I'm not sure if you see anybody else. Or if you see all those other parents.
I think you see him in the cars.
I think you see the car, yeah.
Because at one point, I know...
Someone has to be driving the car.
Yeah. That's true. So, because they all go
get dropped off and get picked up.
Yep. So they have 13 technically.
That's still really small, man.
So
it is.
I mean, for a movie like that and that expansive, you know what I mean? Like
they only have, because any other movie, if you think about it, and I'm not talking main cast, but if you think about it, there's usually a group shot or a shot of the city or something like that where you just see tons of extras or just regular people walking around.
Actually, that brings up...
Actually,
The Road had very little people in it, right?
Okay. I've never seen that, so let me know about this.
What was that horror movie that I just also just watched that I said don't watch?
Was it bad?
Yeah, it wasn't very good. But it was one that Cody and I just went to go... wanted to see in theaters.
Wasn't It Comes at Night? Or was it
It Comes at Night? It Comes at Night.
The one with Joel Edgerton, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That one had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, that's still, it's a small cast, but it's not as small as I thought it was. That one also had like 9.
No, because there's more. The Road has, I'm thinking there's less people in that, but they're actually, The Road has quite a bit because there's a shit ton of... uncredited, like there's like extras and stuff because there's one town, so there's
and It Comes at Night had like 9 people in it, I think it was.
Yeah. It listed 10 on IMDb.
Sure, It Comes at Night.
No. Here comes it, and it listed 10.
So it beats Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And there's no like group shot people anywhere.
No, because it's much like A Quiet Place where.
It's an isolated
place. So it mostly takes place around this house in the woods.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Well, the idea was cool, and I thought that it would be more like A Quiet Place, but it's not at all. It's more of just this plague has been sweeping across America. It's killed off probably everybody in the world, but you're not really told anything about it. And... there's something in the woods, but they never say what.
And that one's not attracted. That one's attracted by light, right?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's just attacks.
They don't explain anything.
Oh, okay.
They literally don't explain anything. See, why that's what's cool. Why about. It's called It Comes at Night? Nothing comes at night.
Joel, you're not doing this. It right then.
Ew.
Ayo.
That was a good thing about A Quiet Place is for the lack of. Dialogue that's in it, and there is a huge lack of dialogue.
Oh yeah,
and there's maybe
there's subtitles because lines. they're signing to each other the whole movie,
and the parents will speak a little bit.
Yeah you can hear like them as
and so signing. There's but there's small scenes where there's some dialogue, but this it's definitely the script the dialogue wise.
Hey, why is my script 3 pages?
Yeah, right? it had to have been.
Where'd you get 2
super
covers?
Low.
We printed them shits back to back.
But with the lack of dialogue in it, and if you were paying attention, and it not even like paying close attention, if you were watching the movie,
if you know how to read maybe 2-syllable words,
you're good. Like you know so much what's going on without them having to just sit there and explain it.
The audience we were with today,
they did a real good job of showing you the newspaper articles and the stuff, and like
several
the
times.
Whiteboard that he
has. So just like Krasinski had a whiteboard saying creatures, armor, attack noise, can't see, weaknesses, ... they couldn't find a weakness.
That's pretty much everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Creatures and so the in armor, area 3.
And you see them with a shotgun at one point in the movie, and if you didn't see that whiteboard, you'd be like, well, these things got to be able to die if you have enough firepower, right?
Right.
But they're very isolated, and they have a shotgun, I'm guessing. They probably don't have anything more than that. But even with a shotgun, you're thinking, that could take that monster out. But you see that board, and it says armor. You're like,
okay. Circled and fucking
clearly underlined. They know they have armor. So that means at some point in the last 490 days, as this thing has taken place in, they tried to kill it and had no luck.
And they show pictures, you know, from newspapers where it's like the army is moving in or something. Yeah. And obviously it hasn't gone very well because, you know, this town.
They're still fucking there.
Yeah.
And nobody, like, when they're in that one town and it's just fucking deserted.
And he's exactly. At one point is sending out an SOS, and it's a, what's a small something radio? What's the, you know.
I don't remember what it was. Anyway, well, so, he was using shortwave radio.
Shortwave radio.
That's, oh, I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Shortwave radio, and he's got this list, this full paper list, and there's other papers underneath it, and all these lines crossed out, and he just crossed out the one that says Japan. And then you see, like, an Indiana, and you see some other ones. You're like, holy shit, he's been trying to contact all these areas, and nobody's giving him a response back. So you don't know either. Like, you know other people are alive.
For only for one thing, because of the signal fires.
Because of the signal fires. So there's a group of people, and they set a little fire up at the end of the night, and he counts them. They're like, all right, everything's good. So you're like, okay, there's other people. So there's people, but we know there's people in that area. We don't know if there's people anywhere else in the world at this point. Right. Because nobody's responding to any radio SOSs or anything like that. So you're like, you get this feeling like, holy fuck, you know what's going on, but you don't know the scope of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just so well done. Like, for them to fit so much detail and actual story into a movie where they're not saying anything is fucking masterful. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And the story of the movie itself isn't the creatures. It's obviously the family. It's
the family, yeah.
But, like, the setting that it takes place in with these creatures and the deserted everything, that's all told to you visually. Versus in, like, you know, with the whole radio and the newspaper clippings, the empty town when they're scavenging the one grocery store, all that is shown to you, and you are essentially just looking at the details come up, like, on the screen as they do it. So they tell you in order and way, blah, 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 right? But there's no other real details given, because it's one of those things where, like, they don't even know those details. They give you all the details they know.
Yeah.
It attacks sound. They're blind. And they're armored. You know what I mean? And then they know there's and three of them there.
Fucking yeah. Gnarly, too.
They are. And that's the thing, though. That's the thing. They've spotted at least three, which means that they've seen three that they can see individually. You know, together, yeah. They've seen three for whatever terrible things have happened, right? Because obviously they've seen people eviscerated several times because of these monsters. But you have these. You just gotta think, if there's more than three in that area, they just haven't seen more than three at a time.
Yeah, it's just that the sign says three confirmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you gotta think, like, all those signal fires you see have been terrorized by at least three, or he's, you know, in his area, he's seen three, so you don't know even how many more are just, like, lurking even in the far distance, because the signal fires you see aren't, like, the next farm over. They're, like, deep fucking far, you know? And then, you know, it's kind of nuts. Like, it's, the setting alone is just fucking terrifying, but yeah, like the whole, and it just kicks off so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the trailers do a good job of letting you know what's going on.
Yeah,
like, you know, these monsters are fucking up things with sound.
Yep,
you get that from the trailers, and again, it's just from what you're seeing. But even if you didn't see a trailer, like, you know, within the first 5 minutes of this movie, what the issue is. Because they started out with a fucking gnarly, gruesome death. You don't really see it. You just see...
You see the aftermath, though.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, that's...
Oh, this how you can do things?
Like, you're gonna kill off the little kid first fucking thing? The little kid's just dead now. All right. I see you guys.
Like, I legitimately didn't think they were gonna do that. I was like, he's gonna get him the last minute and get cut or something, and it's gonna, like, wreck his leg, and that's gonna play off later in the movie because he can't save somebody or whatever, right? Nope.
Nope. Kill the little kid.
Not even close to getting close to that.
That's the equivalent of John Wick killing the puppy off.
Yeah.
In the first couple minutes of the first scene of the movie, or not scene, but the first act, to like really set the tone and let you get on this guy's side. In this movie, you killed the little kid off first thing right you're like, away. Oh, okay, this is the kind of, like, you have to be worried about these characters. Because if they're going to kill off the little kid, like, you know you someone know, else yeah. is getting taken out. You don't know who, but you're pretty sure.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of this, but I just looked up movies that have the smallest casts. I'm thinking maybe I'm going to see one that, like, you know, it doesn't really count because there's not that many people in them, you know? And there's no big names or whatever. Do your, you know, your criteria, big actors. Yeah, no, there's a couple that I don't know why I didn't think about it. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf from 1966?
I don't know what that is.
So yeah. All these movies have five or less actors in them. Five or few characters. Now, a couple of these are going to not fit the bill. Because things like Gravity is on here,
yeah.
But that actually has more, because you see, like, to your stipulation, there's you see them on there, so they're going to be uncredited. Like the, just the crew of the satellite of the station alone gets you over five,
mm-hmm.
But then you have the Russians, that she's talking to, and you have the two dudes in the boat when she crashes down. So that right there just jumps your cast up. But the 10 Cloverfield Lane, I think it has like four or five people in it.
I think there's
because that's John Goodman, the chick, and the guy.
And then the girl outside.
And
then
but I don't think they show anything in the backgrounds because everything takes place.
Well, she starts off in the city though, right?
Yeah, but you don't see anything though.
You don't see anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, too.
Yeah.
Let's see what
IMDb is. I just realized Alien is a pretty good one as well. Because it looks like you just have 9 people.
Alien. Yeah. So,
if you include the... the alien, the guy who plays the alien in the suit, it's actually...
would we count the alien, though? He's a cast member, yes, it makes sense, yeah.
It's 8, because I was looking here, and I just realized this one says mother. Well, that's the machine, so it's not really a person.
Yeah.
So that's 8.
They give her credit for mother?
Yeah, Helen Horton.
Oh, because the voice.
She did the voice of it.
That's technically a character, then.
But she's credited. Not... really in on
but she's, screen but she's I mean otherwise
nah, well I'm trying to fit this yeah. into Mike's
well because this is 10 Cloverfield Lane. You have
didn't Bradley Cooper
Ben because he does the voicemail
of like hey yeah. fuck something up or something.
Yeah, so you have John Goodman, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, John Gallagher Jr., Douglas M. Griffin, who is the driver, that's one right there, woman who's Susan Cryer, who's the woman outside. You have Bradley Cooper, Samuel Lee Montoya, I guess. Mm. That's the radio voice. And then Frank Motek, who's the radio broadcaster, who's a voice. And then you have Paper Girl. So that's 9 right there. That's still a pretty short cast, though.
It's pretty short. But yeah, the whole idea, though, is like, because I've looked up smallest cast, and then you see a lot of movie. And the first time I did this, I think, the first time I went on this tangent was before 10 Cloverfield Lane came out,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't think about it then. But like a lot of those ones, you're like, oh, this is a short cast. Like, there's only a couple people in this movie. Like, I've had this conversation with other people. They're like, what about Castaway? Like, there's a shit ton of people in Castaway.
Yeah.
Like, there is a ton of people in Castaway. Now, the story focuses on one person for an hour stretch. That's the only person you see.
Right.
But during the course of the movie, you see a bunch of people. And, like, especially at the very end, there's, like, a room full of...
of journalists and stuff, yeah.
So, like, usually extras fuck that up when you're thinking about it. Usually there's a shot or there's something...
there's somebody in the background walking, doing normal day life type stuff.
The Blair Witch Project has 10.
Yeah, that's another one I never saw.
Yeah. I know, I'm just trying to find movies that are... I've seen a lot of movies, so, you know, quite a bit.
You've seen some movies. I've seen a lot of movies. I haven't seen as much. This is fucking crazy asshole.
Joe?
Yeah, that one.
I've seen quite a few movies. The thing is, I'm trying to think. I think horror movies
probably be
are
going to
be the ones that have the lowest cast in them.
Bing, Antichrist.
What the fuck is that?
That's the movie where Willem Dafoe has sex with a tree.
Oh, yeah.
Three characters. Three actors. That's it.
Yeah.
What about the tree?
Tree's not really real.
The tree got fucked.
The tree did some fucking, too. There's no around about that.
Oh, okay.
There's literally Willem Dafoe, Charlotte Gainsbourg, and Storm... that name's... I'm never going to pronounce
that
properly.
I've never seen it, but there's no other, like, background people.
No, there's literally nobody else.
It just takes place in some isolated area.
In a cabin. Yeah. First off, you need to watch the movie, because it's fantastic.
Really? Because I've heard...
It will fuck you over.
Because that's what I've heard.
I heard he fucked a tree in it, and...
You've heard that twice today.
Done other things happen in that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's it. It's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's three actors in that movie. Three characters total.
Dang, that's tiny. Think you can carry a movie with just two people?
Depends on the setting, I guess.
Yeah,
what it is.
Yeah.
I want to make a movie with two people in it.
Oh, Castaways does have a lot of fucking people in it. The boat scene alone. Yeah.
Well, and he's on the plane. There's a handful of people on the plane, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes no sense. How many people are monsters? It's technically a real movie.
What's Monsters?
Monsters is a... not monster. Where is...
Is it coming ball form? Is this a... Ink form? Is this
No, it's the one I was telling you about. There it is. Oh no, there's the Marines. They count the Marines. Yeah, that's true. That's actually quite a bit, because there's a lot of extras in it. Yeah, so that one doesn't count. But that's the movie Gareth Edwards wrote and directed. Gareth Edwards wrote and directed Rogue One.
Yep.
But I'm trying to think if I've seen the movie.
They made a sequel to it, which actually was not half bad. Didn't need to be made, but it's okay. But it's basically about a photographer that goes into this this basically place run by monsters, and it was... The whole premise was really cool. The whole way they shot it was really cool, because they shot it for like literally like $22,000 or something like this.
Wow.
Like the shooting budget. The main budget itself was more because of the actors or whatever, but like the shooting budget was like $22,000, because what they did is they went and shot in these areas, and what was supposed to be these warning signs, like, you know, picture of a monster, don't go here, it's monster area, whatever, they digitized them in. So they literally went and changed the signs in post to be it, so you see these big banners on these buildings. They're not real.
Uh-huh.
They're part of it, so that we didn't have to do set dressings. None of that. It was just all post. But it was all done like guerrilla style, where they just rent these areas where they didn't have permission to shoot, and they shot the film. And so they shot away from people. But then they like the cast essentially was just like no names people playing Marines and guerrilla fighters and things like that.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's a really good movie. You should watch it. It's pretty cool. I think it's still on the Netflix. I know the second one thing is still on the Netflix. But anyways, tangent aside from that.
Yeah.
We're going to do three favorites and...
Yeah, we'll do three favorite things and one thing you were surprised by. We'll start with Joe.
Oh, God.
Joseph.
Three favorites. So one is that they weren't afraid to show the monster.
Right away.
And they weren't afraid to put it in daylight.
Yes.
Yeah, you got good detail out of the monster.
You got great detail out of it, and it was fantastic, and they still made it scary.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, where, not to interrupt you, it's one of those things where they did a slow build for it, too.
Yeah.
Because you get a glimpse of it the first time when it takes the little one. You get it again when it's the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get like a hand, a knuckle foot
or
thing.
Something. Yeah, claws.
And then like you see like the side of the head, and then they just it literally starts increasing towards the end of the movie, like the last 20 minutes. It's just nonstop full shots of the monster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was, I like that a lot.
It's hard to say like favorite scenes or anything from this because it just ends up being really fucked up. But I would think the, you know, like a really good scene was when what's her name was giving birth.
Emily Blunt,
where she, I mean, just
that
phenomenal.
Seems intense, dude.
Phenomenal acting. And
it was a long scene,
super
too.
Fucking intense.
Yeah, it's not just that, the whole part of
the
that,
the whole
too,
part of that,
with,
yeah.
With him and with the Jim and John Krasinski character, Lee, and the son coming back, you know?
From water breaking to finding her in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like 10 minutes, probably.
I think it might have been longer than
just
that.
Just fantastic.
And it's fucking brutal,
the
dude.
Seat.
Yeah.
Cody had mentioned that he was reading an article that people were, what was it specifically, like just not eating their popcorn at one point. And to me, I'm thinking going into that is like, oh, it's going to be like a gore thing or something stupid or like that. But no, it's a suspense thing. It's literally that you don't realize it. You just stop breathing.
And it's so, the movie's so fucking quiet.
Yes.
That you hear your popcorn when you're eating it.
You're fucking everything.
Yeah, so you're like, okay,
some asshole
dumping
his popcorn into a fucking one of those boxes.
Yeah. Which was
right as the movie's fucking started. God, we just went through 20 minutes of fucking previews, and you couldn't start dumping your fucking popcorn in those during that?
You just
piece
hear
of shit. Anyways, go ahead.
And that just leads into the audio was fantastic in this movie. There's not a whole lot of it, but where it is, it's perfect and it sounds really good, and the screech of the monster is terrifying. God.
The clicking and
the
like
clicking
the,
noises that they make, because it's got to be some sort of echolocation type of thing.
That the sound that the armor plates when it moves off the head make, that like stretching noise, I was like, ugh, so gross.
And the thing that surprised me the most is the fact, because going into it, I kept wondering, how is a movie where most of it is going to be dead air, how is that going to be? It was awesome. It was completely awesome.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it, too.
Yeah. Who's next?
Mike. I'll go.
Mike.
One of the things I liked about it a lot was just the... We kind of talked about it, but setting the tone for the movie early on. You know how brutal those fucking monsters are, and you know, like, this movie is a movie where they're willing to kill off characters. Like, again, you kill off the little kid in the first 5 minutes of the movie, you know everyone else is endangered. You know what I mean? Like, you don't... A lot of movies you go in, you don't think, like, main characters are going to die.
An uncle dies, or, like,
mom
dies, or whatever. You know what I mean? You don't really worry about it. Like,
main family.
But you've seen... And just from watching the trailers, they didn't give you a lot of scenes. Mm. So you're not sitting there saying, well, I know in this part, so-and-so's still there. You know, and I haven't seen that part yet. Because the scenes are real fucking generic in the trailer anyway. And most of the stuff you see way early on in the movie that you saw in the trailer. So the suspense is being built up right there. Like, you know, like, every one of these kids are on... Could be on borrowed time, and the parents might go out. You don't know how, you don't know when, but you know they already killed off a character early on, and so you're left thinking, all right, well, everyone's fair game, so you have to be kind of on the edge of your seat for everybody.
Yeah.
So just setting the tone like that is a fucking genius way to start a movie, and not a lot of movies have the guts to do that, to kill a little fucking kid on screen.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. That early in a movie. And a sweet little kid, too. A really cute kid. It wasn't like you just saw a kid. Like, you, the first few minutes, you are literally just on that kid for the movie, and you're building up your relationship with these characters, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, this poor kid doesn't get the toy, and he probably doesn't understand, and he's talking about the rocket is gonna take him away to safety, and it's like, fuck, why is this little kid, you know, like, poor kid has seen crazy shit already, and he has to live this shitty life, and then he doesn't even get a toy, and then the fucking kid He goes out. So that sucks. And so, but you know, you're on the edge of your seat the whole rest of the movie. So that was super dope. The, like, again, like we talked about, the passive storytelling, I guess would be how you say it. Like, it's all there for you. Everything they know, you know, throughout the course of the movie. And if they learn something new throughout the course of the movie, you're learning it with them. There's nothing, there's nothing left. Like they have to explain to you.
Yeah, and I think that it's something that this movie does really well is explaining the rules of this horror movie, the rules of this world. You learn immediately that the monsters are audio based.
Yep.
So as long as you don't make sound, you're okay. You're literally told by just a background thing that, like we said earlier, you know, they have armor. It seems like they're impervious to bullets and stuff like that because of this armor. And they're not sure of any weaknesses. So, like, they stick to the rules and they don't make anything up later on, which is really good.
And the one thing that kind of gives them an edge, you run into it, I want to say organically because obviously it's written like that. But in that world, they run into it just off of a freak accident.
Right? Yeah.
So, like, it's not like, oh, we finally figured it out. It's like, oh, shit, this does something. Yeah. Wouldn't make sense that you wouldn't know that that thing would do what it did unless you have a deaf little girl
right up there, yeah,
and you're trying to do what they were doing. So it was really cool. The third thing was just the like you were saying, they weren't afraid to show the monster, but they also didn't oversaturate it with monsters.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, you saw enough of it to where you're not leaving, like, a Cloverfield movie being like, fuck, what the fuck was that? You know what I mean? Like, you know exactly what it is. You know how it works. You see how it moves. You see how strong it is. But it's not there all the time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can make a monster movie, a scary movie, and they tilt the balance is just right to where you see just enough of it where you're not like, oh, I wish I saw more, and not enough to where you're like, it was
these motherfuckers were everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a CGI monster the whole, like, yeah, that's kind of can be annoying. But the story itself wasn't really about these monsters. It was a story about a family. Mm-hmm. And you connected with that more than anything else. You didn't, like, it was really weird how you can go into a scary movie and care about what's happening in this world, and the small amount of dialogue that they do give you is fucking heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, and you
talk about the waterfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then later on when Emily Blunt is talking to John Krasinski, saying, who are we if we can't protect our kids? Like, this fucking world is brutal, dude. And anybody, like, I don't have kids, but I have family members. And so, like, you start thinking, like, fuck, if that's all you have and you know a fucking drop in a glass could lead to their death, like, you're literally walking around on eggshells all the time, your whole life, how stressed out that could be. That's fucking, it's an anxiety riddled movie. So it's in the best way possible. So it was really cool. And the thing that I was surprised about was the I guess not the twist ending, but the key that kind of unlocked their weakness. Like, as I'm watching it, and it did such a good job. I wasn't, a lot of movies you're like, all right, how are they gonna figure this out, how are they gonna figure that out? Like, I didn't think anything about it because I was so into the moment on the movie. But what they did to give a one up on the monsters and how they explain how you can finally kill one, I was like, fuck, that's smart, man.
Yeah.
Cause like, I wasn't expecting it. And I think part of the reason I wasn't expecting it is cause I was so into the movie, but once they give it to you, you're like, yeah, dude, that's dope. Like, that's smart. It makes sense. If they're that in tune to sound, like, those frequencies could fuck with something. Like, it was pretty genius storytelling in this movie.
So. And that ending though, where she just racks the shotgun and you're like, oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, and you see the other two that are confirmed. Yeah. Like, you look at the cameras and you're like,
shooting down, yeah.
And that's how you,
they hear the shot.
Yeah. And so they're a coming, and like, the kids at that point are just like, all right, we finally have something on them. let's do this. And she, that fucking deaf girl is just ready to blast him with that shit.
She's like,
and Emily Blunt shotgun out, ready to go. And the look on her face too, like, fine, you like, fuckers killed my husband, I'm gonna wreak havoc on your shit.
And my son.
Hey,
my
she
son.
Was over that. That was a year ago.
Really? She was over that?
No, she totally wasn't
over that. Yeah, yeah, right.
But the fresh death was the husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brought it all back. I agree with everything you guys said.
Thanks, man.
There was one scene that I really wish was done a little differently. And it comes from an audio person's perspective.
Okay.
Hit me.
So it's the dance scene. Well, Mike's just over here dropping shit.
Easy.
So Emily Blunt comes down, and you can clearly see, I saw clearly right that away, that she was wearing earbuds. Earbuds,
yeah.
And they go to dance, right? Well, she takes one of the earbuds out very romantically and gives it to John so he can hear the song, so they can dance in tune, so he's not like a monster, you know what I mean? The whole theater filled with audio. It should have just been one side.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, that's a real dumb thing.
I know. About. That's, I'm not going to say it ruined it for me. But I think that it was a missed opportunity for a really good audio time is that. But then you,
no, but then you lose half the song and you know what I mean? Like,
well, granted, I realize that. I know why they didn't do it. I'm just saying as an audio-wise, it would have been cool if it started there and then blended to the rest of the theater. But I know why they didn't do it. But anyways, I thought that would have been really cool. Because they did a really good job with audio in it, yeah. With like switching to the deaf girl's perspective and not hearing shit.
Ugh, anxiety.
Yeah.
This whole movie is just anxiety.
Yeah.
They could have named it anxiety. It was brutal.
I mean,
but you're not
the same thing.
You're not. It, like, it was so well done, though. Like, and I was telling you guys, like, I hate
horror movies.
Like, scary movies, like, just so many shitty ones that I don't go watch scary movies anymore. Like, I won't go watch them. Like, I better hear they're fucking fantastic, and people who I like better be making them. Like, that's the reason I went and watched Get Out, because I was like, holy shit, this dude's making a movie. I'm going to go watch that because I really like him, and people are raving about it. This one, I saw the trailers, and then I saw, obviously, I'm a big fan of John Krasinski, and so he's in it, he co-wrote the screenplay, and he directed it. I was like, yeah, I want to see what this dude does. Is his first, like, this is his baby, 100%.
And it wasn't like an indie small movie
that wasn't
hitting theaters or hit, like, 12 screens somewhere.
And the premise and idea behind it was so cool. I was like, all right, I'll give this one a shot. And then the reviews started pouring in about how much people loved it. I was like, yeah, this is definitely something I want to see. But yeah, usually I don't give a fuck about these movies. Like, there's 100 scary movies coming out within, like, the next month or so. There was, like, 2 in the trailers, and I don't give a shit about any of those movies. They might be great.
No, they look terrible.
But most scary movies that I've seen are garbage.
Yeah, they are.
And we saw the ones for tonight. We saw for
Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare, which looks fucking terrible.
Yeah.
What was the other one we saw tonight?
There's 2 in there? I feel like there's another one. Or I might have just been seeing trailers, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bunch of them coming out. And so I just don't care about them. But this, I mean, fuck, Get Out last year, Quiet Place this year. Like, they keep doing shit like this. I'm going to start being real excited about scary movies again.
But it's one of those things where it's like this and Get Out were not your typical scary movie, you know what I mean? They did different things.
Yeah.
This is more, I would say, it's definitely more suspenseful and, like, thriller-based.
Yeah.
But it is a scary movie.
And there's jump scares, which usually were all kind of anti-jump scares, but they did them right. You know what I mean? They weren't forced in stupid ones. Like, it was all well done, and they didn't overdo it either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, It's just such a well-made movie that I can't.
It was really well done. It was beautifully shot.
Yeah.
The monsters looked gorgeous.
Yep.
I mean, for the monsters, obviously, you know. I mean, obviously they're CG. I don't think they use any practical effects. There might have been, you know.
Dude, that scene where the monster was beating the shit out of the truck.
Yeah, no, I wasn't ready for that.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was like,
it's rough.
So the thing is, I wanted to say, but I was going to wait until you finished. The thing about when they took out the little kid at the beginning, I was like, oh, so I think I know how this movie's going to end. All of them are going to die.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to Cloverfield the shit out of everything, right? It's just going to be, we get to watch it happen. You know what I mean? Or it's going to be one of those things where, like, it ends with them all trapped in a terrible way of some sort. You know what I mean? Or like all that's left is just Emily Blunt and the baby. And you're
very much like The Thing.
Yeah, it's like
I didn't think the baby was gonna make it. Watching this, I was like, that baby's gonna die instantly.
I thought she was gonna die after the birth because she looked
right,
not well.
And just the fact that she was the only one that I was actually there at the farm, so it's so unprepared for the baby coming. Yeah,
yeah, like they were prepared for a baby, but they're not very prepared because it was like a good like 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looked at the calendar. You know what I mean? And obviously you can't, like, then they don't have all the technology, so they're guessing the best they can. Because by the time, that time, they're 474 days in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're, we're like, guessing 2021 or 22?
Something like that,
What year they're in? Because the kid died in 2020.
Yeah.
Is the
so it's a little over a year later.
Yeah, so it's either...
21 or 22, yeah.
Yeah, it could be 22, but... So you're... That was a cool little thing too, because you know the time frames too. Yeah. You're like, oh shit, this still has to happen.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh,
fuck.
Any little meteorite, I'm gonna fuck that thing up. Hit it with sound waves.
A little fence around it.
But yeah, when they took out the little kid, I was like, so this how we gonna do this?
So they just gonna kill everybody?
Yeah. Like, so you know, that's cool. So
yeah, kind of fucked up, but
that was my surprise thing, and I looked at Mike. Like, after it happened, I was like, at first, like, it felt to me like I sat there with my fucking mouth open in shock for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, because it cuts away. That's when it cuts away to the title screen.
And then
you fuckers.
I looked at Mike and I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't usually say stuff out loud in movies, but I didn't say this out loud. I didn't go, what the fuck? But I was like, what the fuck? Like, are you shitting me right now? The first fucking person you get to see killed is the littlest kid,
like a 4-year-old.
It wasn't. You get to watch the fucking kid who's obviously sick with something slowly die, right? And like moan, and they have to make sure he's not loud or whatever, and they accidentally suffocate him. Anything, right? Nope. Little kid wanted to play with the fucking spaceship, snatched right out of his fucking feet.
And the I can't say enough about Emily Blunt and John Krasinski in this movie to be able to give such great performances without being able to use dialogue as, you know what I mean? Like
acting, you mean?
Yeah. Like it's all facial expressions and mannerisms.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. That's rough, dude. And they did such a good job. Like that scene where the kid's about to get taken out and John Krasinski is sprinting his ass down that bridge.
Because he's carrying his one kid who's sick.
Yeah.
Who is probably 12 or 13, you know?
So he's like halfway down this bridge, or most of the way down this bridge, and the little kid is not even on the bridge yet because he stopped to play with his toy. And so he puts the sick kid down, and he's fucking hauling ass, and he looks, and that's when we get the first glimpse, and it's just a little bit because they progress it so nicely.
Like the trees,
you see something shooting through the trees, and you just know it's big, and it's fast.
And it's brownish.
And he's hauling ass, and he looks over, and that thing's hauling ass even faster, and he's looking at the kid, and the little kid's just playing with the toy, having a fucking good time. And he gets so fucking close, and just boom, wiped out. Kid's dead. And the way his arms go up and he freezes, like he can't believe what he just saw and he knows he's too late. Ugh, fucking brutal, dude. Yeah. So good, though.
So that was my surprise scene because I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck just happened? Like, you can't believe that shit happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, I expected him to save him.
Yeah, so did I.
And knock the toy out of the way or whatever. Like, grab him, the toy flies.
Because you already know at that point that it's attracted to sound. That he grabs the toy and throws it and you see the monster.
And then grabs the kid and, shoot after the toy. But nope.
No.
Snatches that little kid right the fuck out the dirt.
Yep.
I was like, God damn. In front of everybody. I was like, and that's the part where, like, they show that the daughter's deaf because you see the close up on both ears have the little suction
cochlear implants
or the magnetic thing for the implants.
Implant.
Yeah, so you know that's the thing because obviously she doesn't she's not talking at all. But like that scene, she has no idea why he's running. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and it's not until like he runs past her and she turns and she of course can't hear the toy. But sees it going off and sees...
Oh, yeah. You know? And she's like, why is everyone freaked out staring at me?
Yeah. And then
she turns around and has this horrified look on her face.
Right. Like, oh, shit. Basically gets to turn around and watch her little baby brother get fucking snatched up by a crazy sound monster. Yeah, I was like, yo, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my. I liked that scene. It sounds terrible. I like the scene
again.
A
yeah,
lot.
No, yeah.
But because that scene just on the bridge alone gives you an idea of how terrifying this world is that they're living in. Mm-hmm. But also because of that scene, what happens in that scene? Jumping up a year or so later, and you find out she's pregnant. You're like, oh,
shit!
This is gonna get way fucking worse.
Little baby screaming.
I was so mad when I saw her pregnant belly. I was like, why the fuck would you do that? Why the fuck would you bring a baby into this world? I was like, what are you? What's your fucking plan? And then you finally slowly plan after plan, but still, I'm like,
yeah, still.
That's too risky for everybody.
Yeah,
you guys fucked up. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I was like, yo, no. My favorite scenes. I would say the bridge scene would be one of them, but I'll do three other ones. I like the birth scene a lot.
Yeah.
I like that scene a lot because it's super intense. Things I liked more about it. I think I really love the kind of world they built in it. I liked a lot too because it is obviously it seems familiar, but like you just know there's this dread. Everyone has there's a fear on everybody's face all the time, and you get that. There's that one scene where they're playing Monopoly, mm-hmm. you know, and everyone's kind of cheerful. They just had dinner. Everyone's in good spirits. The kid accidentally knocks over the lamp. He freaks out, and then you like hear the raccoon. You see the raccoons jump down, and I was like, oh, hey. Someone should probably tell those raccoons they need to shut the fuck up because there's crazy sound monsters. And
you see the one crazy gets sound and snatch up a raccoon. Yeah. You're like, yeah, that wasn't very loud at that point.
Yeah, I was like, that's what you get, Trash Panda, for making noise, you know, chittery and stuff. But you know, what's crazy about that too is I think this is what happened. The next scene you see, like during the day, John Krasinski's filling in that hole. Where it got where the sound monster drugged the that's what it was doing because it looked like he was filling in that hole because obviously that was on the path.
He was pouring a lot of whatever that was.
And I was like, oh, that's where Trash Panda got ate.
Yeah,
he got snatched off the ground. But then the other thing too, that's the other thing too that got me. And I think they used that scene the way they did is you realize you don't really hear any other wildlife. You don't see any of it. You hear birds. But then you hear the flock of birds flying, but you almost sound like they're being attacked in a way, you know, and they're flying away. We're like, oh, that's right.
Well, and I thought about that too when they had the dinner, where it's like, do they have meat? Like, what are they eating? And it looked like it was mostly vegetables and stuff.
Yeah, so you can see that she was pulling a steamer out with the fish on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was like, that was
basically it.
Yeah. I was like, meat. How the fuck are they going to
fish? Because, I thought about that too. I was like, yo, you can't. Like, all the animals are dead.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have cows anymore.
So when they went to go fishing later, I was like, how? Because you saw the net, and I was like, you're going to splash out in water.
Yeah.
But then they kind of explained
it. Yeah, they explained. They used that to explain the loud noises, which.
And that makes sense. That steady amount of noise, those monsters are probably just.
They're like, fuck it.
They always go there and there's always nothing. You know, that kind of thing.
It's all we hear is that noise. There's no other new noises. And that would be your food source because they're not going to go there to fish.
Yeah.
Oh, how creepy was it when they're in that little basement thing?
When he goes
into the water? And that one goes under the water?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. I was like, ooh, fuck that thing.
Yeah, I was like, I quit. I'm out.
Because the way it dove in and just disappeared, I was like.
Because it kind of folds its body in and then ducks. I was like, yo. First off, A, whoever thought of this monster, A+, all right? B, you can go fuck yourself because you are just making me never want to be any type of dark water. I need to see everything in water before I get in it now because fuck just you.
Fuck that thing.
Yeah, like,
and
yo.
And then it emerges from the water just above the baby.
And it's not even like, it's a thing too where it made that like,
doesn't like burst up. It just like slowly comes up,
but it's like this deliberate like. Yeah. Oh, I heard some shit.
And you can hear clicking.
Yeah, dude.
As and it's like, trying to figure out what's going on.
And she sinks behind the fucking flow of water, which A, smart on you,
right?
And B, I was like, this is where they die, right? He's gonna come back and find body parts floating,
right?
I was like, yo, no. And then obviously it gets drawn away. But I was like, I would have thought one of those kids was dying of the fucking grain in fucking grain mill thing and the corn thing. I was like, all right, is Duffy gonna drown in the corn? Which is terrible. That's a terrible way to go. Like,
dude,
drowning in corn,
right?
You know. But I was like, all right, but they're making a lot of noise because they're like the kernels are making them because they're dry kernels making noises. The fucking metal door swinging, let alone the metal door that fell, which I thought.
That's going to chop that kid in half.
I was like, this is how he dies.
Yeah. I thought he did. Yeah. I thought it did the way it landed. I was like, oh, he's dead. Yeah, he did. Okay. He just.
Yeah. I just missed him.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, that kid got chopped in half. Yeah.
Yep. I was like, yeah. Every time something like that happened, I was like, so this is where the next person dies? Like, that was just, wait, who's next to die?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
this is how the death girl dies.
Yeah, they're slowly going to just chisel away at this already small cast in terrible ways. She's going to drown in corn. He's going to make fucking noises trying to get to her, and it's going to drop in behind him and fucking just, you know, there goes his curly head, and boom, you know, done. And John Krasinski's going to come find a fucking drowned deaf girl in corn, maybe not even see her, doesn't know where she's at, and then fucking just bits and parts of whatever's left of the kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And again, I was like, yeah, this is fucked up. Yeah. This is so fucked up. And then my last favorite thing, I would have to say the use of audio and the lack of use of audio sometimes, you know, turning it off when her perspective, I thought was really clever. The method of hurting the monsters was very similar to Signs, if you remember the movie Signs.
Yeah, and they stumble upon the fact that their weakness is water.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And it's one of those things where, like, it's not as blatant as it is in Signs and stupid, the way they do it. Like, oh, the water glasses, blah, 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 whatever, right? But it's the whole thing of, like, they know sound is your camouflage because they're obviously very sound. They're blind. All they do is hear. They hear very well.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, being able to scream over a waterfall or because of a waterfall, you're safe to talk out loud, all that fun stuff like that. So they give you those little hints. And then, obviously, the main hint is when it encroaches out of the corn and she's staring at the flashlight by the big tire. She obviously can't hear him. Yeah. And when he gets closer and he does that sound echo, it causes her earpiece to react. Mm-hmm. And so she's like this because she can't hear him. She doesn't know he's there. Yeah. And he reacts and just runs away. He's like, fuck this nonsense. Like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's over here because I can't see.
This is not fun.
But I don't like it. I don't like what's happening here. I'm going to go somewhere else. So that told me right there, is like, that's obviously their weakness.
Yeah.
Is that sound. I just didn't know
how. But she didn't know it.
Yeah, she didn't know it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, I was kind of frustrated with her that she didn't pick up on it immediately on the second time. But I'm like, all right, you give her. Like, you want her to know. You want her to know right then
what's happening. John Krasinski.
Yeah. But also, it's like, okay, I get it. You're so fucking frightened, and you're a kid, and this thing's attacking you, and your head's on fire for some reason. You don't know what's going on.
Yep.
I get that. I was like, but if she fucking picked up on it earlier, she probably could have saved Jim.
Yep.
And she let Jim die.
She did. A little selfish bitch.
Fucking bitch.
And then Mike's a monster. And back to our terrible audience that we were viewing the movie with. The number one thing that pissed me off is the fact none of these people knew the rules of the movie in the world.
Yeah.
Because that guy goes, I was waiting for her to shoot this thing the entire time. I'm like, yo, think about this, dummy. They're attracted to sound. Guess what? We also know they're armored. We know. You might not know they're armored, right? Because we learned how to read when we were very young, and we know words are used to give you details about stuff, and that's how we learn things. If she took a shot and it failed, not only would that thing kill her, but it would track the other ones we know are around. Well, we knew, again, because we read and know there's three of them that are around the area. That would attract the other two.
When you saw two together at one point. Kind of. One outside of the house and one in the house. And you're like, oh, fuck.
So it means, like, she makes this shot. She has to be guaranteed it takes at least this one down.
Yeah.
For her to then scramble her kids, what's remaining of them, to somewhere safe because they just fired a shotgun off at night.
Yep.
It was dawnish and whatever, right? But like, in an with nothing else running by it. There's no machineries running. There's nothing. That echoed through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You shoot a shotgun in a farmhouse, you're going to hear it for a while away.
Yeah.
and those guys are tuned in pretty well. So I was like, A, mister, I wasn't paying attention to the movie. Well, I was waiting for her to do that entire time. Motherfucker, she is terrified for her life and her kids' lives.
Plus, for everything that you've seen, you don't want to be up close to these things. Yeah. That they will just, boom, and you're gone.
Yeah, they're so fast.
Yeah.
Like, she barely made it into the bathtub enough.
Yeah.
For it not to come up the fucking stairs. And then, at one point, I'm pretty sure it was in the bathroom with her.
It was
then the fireworks, because you hear the clicking, and it sounds like uh-huh. it's in the room. You hit, then the fireworks go off, and it fucking takes off, tears down out of there, and she fucking screams, and I was like, this is the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a movie in my life, and I watched a man's penis fall off.
Hostile 2? No. That was Planet Terror.
Planet Terror. Also yeah. in Teeth.
Oh, she that bites one was so fucked up.
Yeah.
But Hostile 2 is the one where they cut it, right?
Yeah.
I've seen an odd amount of penises.
Severed penises? Yeah.
Yeah.
I should stop watching movies.
That's rough. That's not going to turn me at all.
That's pretty fucked up.
Now I know what I have to do. Don't go to hostels.
Yeah.
Don't sleep with a lady who has teeth in her vagina. And don't get a crazy flesh mutating disease thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Simple, right? Yeah. Those are three simple rules that I learned from movies. Yeah. But yeah, so that really pissed me off when, like, obviously that guy wasn't paying attention. And then he says that, I'm like, yo, the rules
are set. We've had a run of real shitty luck with the audience around us lately.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of things that are worse than
shitty. My number one pet peeve, besides people talking and not paying attention to the movie, is when people clap at the end of a movie, right? But it does not piss me off nearly as much. It's my number one pet peeve, because the reason it's a pet peeve is because if people keep doing it, I don't understand why. Like, you're not watching a play. No one knows that you're clapping for their movie unless those people who made the movie are in the theater with you.
Then go ahead and clap. That never bugs me that much.
It drives me insane.
But the saying things as they get it out loud.
Yeah.
Like that group next to us or to the right of Jen.
Yeah.
Like when they see that soundproof baby box for them. Yeah. They're like, oh, the box is soundproof. Like,
they yeah, showed bitch. You earlier, dummy. Oh,
like,
yeah,
like obviously,
yeah. It was the little things like that. It's like you're the reason.
And then like good odd, movies odd aren't laughing.
Better.
Yeah, what was that? I was gonna ask.
There was weird laughing in parts that weren't funny.
Exactly.
Because someone like I when think the little girl said something
talking about like she's signing like. Or the boy is like, no, he's gonna come for us, talking about his dad, and she's like, no, we have to go. He's like, no, they're gonna come for us. He's like, she might come for you. We need to go, because there's this whole sub story where this girl thinks his dad doesn't like her. And it's like, that sucks. And people are laughing. I'm like, why the fuck are you laughing?
Really,
this is
really
not a funny moment at all. This is a shitty moment of this little girl in this horrible fucking world thinks her dad doesn't love her. And, like, her dad should have done a better... Like, it's just a real shitty fucking situation, and people are laughing. I'm like, bitches, why are you laughing at this? There's no reason for laughter right now.
Yep. Yeah, it was... Yeah, I heard that. I was like,
That ruined the scene for me, because it was just like, why are you laughing? I don't...
Yeah.
This real was dumb. Awful. Real dumb, like.
All I could think of is when we finished the movie, it was like, I really just want to go and watch this now at my house with no one else there.
Like, I like movie theaters.
I'll allow you guys to be there.
I don't think I would want to watch this alone.
Nope, I totally watch this
alone. I'll watch it again alone.
I've watched shit with all the lights on. Movies alone. During in the dark. The day. In the dark.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. Nah. Nope. I'm not down with that shit.
Nope. That's how I watched They Come in the Dark.
It Comes at Night. It
Comes at Night.
I didn't say,
That's how I watched that. Awful movie.
We Come in Peace. Is that how you watch We Come in Peace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The producer's giving us the wrap-up signal.
So this is what we're getting. Can we talk about the Meg real quick, though?
Sure.
Yeah. It looks fucking dope. It looks like it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So the Meg, for the people who don't know, is...
We were just talking about this.
Literally...
why are they not making more shark movies?
Yeah, like,
oh, here's a trailer, fuckers.
With Jason Statham.
Yeah, so Jason Statham's in this.
I didn't know Jason Statham was in this. Is this the Eli Roth one, right?
No.
No, it's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I don't know who's doing this
one.
Is Eli Roth one still happening?
I think so.
I got thrown off by the Meg.
Trying to remember... I know they said who was directing. I can't remember his name, though.
John.
Oh, John Turteltaub. That's right. From National Treasure. Yeah. He's not known for making super high quality movies.
But
fun ones. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the National Treasure movies because I think they're shitty Indiana Jones movies. But
they are. But they're fun.
And some people believe they're fun. I'm not putting it. You're saying you're not allowed your opinion. I just don't like them. And I've watched them both. There was only two, right?
Yes.
Okay. Whew, man, I was like, is there more than two?
No, there's only two.
But the thing about this movie is the premise itself is stupid because it's a megalodon, right?
Yes.
And the only places terrifying a megalodon can get you is in deep ocean because they're massive sharks,
mm-hmm.
if they still do exist, whatever, right? But like this is like swimming at a beach, and I was like, well, that's not gonna happen. Like it would get stuck,
right?
It would hurt itself.
Yeah.
But it's like, fuck it, I don't care. Like, and then the opening of the American trailer versus the international trailer. The opening of the American trailer is way better because it's the little girl playing with the little remote control servo ball thing, yeah. right? And it gets stuck. She picks it up and she like doesn't hear anything, but she sees something. And when she looks up, there's, because you see in the background, she's under this underwater facility. You see the shirt coming out of the murk. And by the time she turns around, it's just sitting there staring at her and just, and it cuts. I like the way they did it in the trailer. It cuts away right as you see him, like, oh, and then like the whole thing, what is that sound? They run out there, and then Jason Statham turns and goes, oh shit. Like there's teeth marks in the fucking glass, which you know have to be super thick because of the pressure underwater, right? But you see the fucking like rows of teeth bit into the glass, and I was like, this is where you get in something and you leave.
Right.
Because guess what?
And that's, you never go back to the water again.
You right? never. You move to the middle of a country that's very dry. Not Australia, because there's shit on land that'll kill you worse than sharks. But like middle of Europe, middle of the United States, anywhere where there's not a lot of water or it's fresh water, because as of right now, there's no sharks there yet. Unless you're talking about Australia, but then don't go to Australia because they have great whites that have evolved. They can swim from saltwater up rivers because they've evolved to have not the lower body dorsal fins.
They can flat also bodies, survive.
But they can now breathe water that isn't salt and isn't salt water. And that's terrifying. Don't go to Australia. That's what I'm trying to say with that part. But what I'm saying is, I see those teeth marks on that glass. A, I think my lucky stars, whatever made those teeth marks, didn't break the glass because then I'd be drowning or my head would explode or whatever happens when you decompress like that low down. But also, I'd be moving somewhere there's not going to be fucking water. Because that's in the water, and I don't trust any water now. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to shit only into open pits. No more toilets, because I don't trust it at all.
Ghost sharks.
Yep, ghost sharks. Never using a slip and slide.
Nope.
Brought that shit back.
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
I'm hoping they do the sequel as the Meg Ghost Shark. Ghost Megalodon. The Ghost Meg.
Yeah, the premise for this movie is trash can, but just the fact that it looks like if a less ridiculous and not trying to be cheesy, like Sharknado kind of premise, like one of those sci-fi movies, where like it's like they're saying, we know this is a goofy premise, but if you stay with us, we'll give you some cool death scenes,
yep,
some cool action scenes, and it looks pretty dope, dude. Like the shark itself looks pretty gnarly,
yeah.
And they're like, we could give you a fun popcorn flick about a giant shark just wreaking havoc on the whole ocean. Yeah. Like and we'll make Jason Statham the hero.
Yeah.
And if Jason Statham doesn't kick this fucking shark in the face at some point,
right?
I'm gonna be a little bummed.
Yeah.
And I don't want an underwater fucking, you know,
punches in the nose punch. No, yeah. You're no, bad shark.
I want this shark to jump up out of the water and Jason Statham says, fuck you, and kicks it right in the fucking face. It's not gonna do anything. I just wanna see Jason Statham kick a shark in the face.
And then the shark flies over with no loss of momentum or trajectory. Yeah. And then he goes, ah, and he falls over. You're like, why did he fall over? And you realize the foot is just gone. Like from his knee down is just missing. He goes, oh, I thought I got a good kick in. And I just realized I kicked a tooth and it just chopped my fucking leg right off my body.
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay.
Do you think he's getting Sam Jackson in this movie?
Someone is.
Someone's getting Sam Jackson.
When we say Sam Jackson from Deep Blue Sea, but the problem is he going to be regurgitated up like Sam and Jackson?
I think the unexpected eating is the more important part.
All right. So someone will get unexpected eating. There's that one scene they see in the American trailer.
Where the guy's on the top of the boat.
And you see the Meg jumping, like he's freewheeling over the boat. And then you see the boat rocking. And the floor of the boat, whatever it's called, and there's probably a name for it. The deck. Yeah, there you go. Pirate fucking talk. There you go. Is covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
So you know from like that one scene, someone got torn in half or something, or like got bit, and because he bit, it just squirted blood everywhere. Because like the boat is just covered in fucking blood. And it's not like little blood. Literally, it's a big ass boat, and half the deck is covered in blood, if not more than that. Yeah. So I was like, well, first off, I got a Free Willy scene. I got ton of blood. And then that part where it's swimming and it's the dorsal fin's up and it's going through the crowd of people at the beach. I'm like, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to take Jaws with a functional shark, but also make that shark 40 feet long. Can I have that? Is that something I can have? Because I think that's what I got.
Pretty sure it'd be bigger.
Yeah. But yeah, I am so excited about this. And the whole octopus scene is pretty dope too, because a giant octopus attacks a little submarine thing, and she's like, oh no, the pressure warning's off, and then all of a sudden it's not attacking anymore, it's funny, and you see this fucking megalodon swimming by with a fucking squid in its mouth. I was like,
in one part it looks like wins. Jason Statham's in like a battle submarine,
yeah,
and he's about to shoot the shark underwater. Yeah. It's so stupid. I want to see it so bad.
Right.
Yeah, so that's it. This week's episode of Comes Naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike,
I'm Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.